Take your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms chapter 91. I wanted to kind of stay a little bit on the theme of what we were on this morning as well, of continuing to meet in the congregation, continuing to serve together in small assemblies. But then one of the points I had mentioned this morning, too, in Psalms 111, the psalmist was saying, I need to continue to what? Search or seek God out. Continue to do that. And boy, I sure hope you folks are doing that. I hope you're hoping every day you have time to have your quiet time. And so that's kind of where we're at tonight, just for a little bit here. I promise you I won't go super long, but I just wanted to share about our secret place, okay? Or some people call it their quiet place or their prayer closet and something like that. And it's good to have your secret place. Psalms 91, beginning at verse 1 says, and he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I have a book at home. It's a commentary by Charles Spurgeon on the study of the Psalms. And so I was looking up his notes on Psalms 91, and Charles Spurgeon says, he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, the blessings here are for those who live in a close personal fellowship with God. Every child of God should look towards the inner sanctuary of fellowship with God. Yet, as Charles Spurgeon says, not all do. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The omnipotent Lord will shield all those who dwell with him. They will remain under the care as a guest, under the protection of their host. This protection is constant. They abide under it and is all sufficient. For it is the shadow of the Almighty. The closer we cling to our Almighty Father, the more confident and peace may we feel and be within. And I thought, what a great statement from Charles Spurgeon. Yeah. And I thought, as I read that again today, you know, in my notes here just now, I thought, wow, he's showing here, Spurgeon was saying, we can have confidence under the protection, under the protective wings of the Almighty, our refuge, our fortress, our Lord. And it made me think, not only are we confident underneath that, we're protected underneath that. But it brought a thought to my mind just a second ago. I was reading it. God's word never says that, or he doesn't say in this situation, that he takes us out from the trouble, does he? But he covers us with his almighty wings. He covers us, strengthens us, protects us from the shadow of the Almighty. You know, and as we're under the shadow of the Almighty, we can feel confident. We can go forward in life, even during some of the most difficult times in life. So I'm going to ask some questions tonight. Give me some feedback. Don't give me a hard time. Just give me feedback. Okay? I'm just joking. All right? What is a secret place? What is a quiet place? What would that be? What would you consider that to be? I can't hear you. Speak up. Okay? What is your quiet place? What would you consider a secret place to be? Or a quiet place? What's that? A place with no distractions. Very good. You looked at my notes already, didn't you? Okay. A place with no distractions. Good. Yeah. Who else? What is a quiet place? Lisa, you have all kinds of quiet places in your great big house, right? I'm picking on her because I know she doesn't. Okay, good. Quiet place, early in the morning. Good. What is another quiet place for you folks? Very good. I like your thinking. I like his thinking. Nature, he said. And you know what? You saw my notes ahead of time here, because we're going to look at that here in just a minute. What is another quiet place? A man cave. Yeah. Yeah. You have a man cave, Wayne?
Sort of.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I got a man cave, too, at home a little bit. Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, take your Bibles. We're going to jump around to a little bit here. So what is a secret place? Luke chapter 5, verse 16. And he, this is speaking, actually, about Christ. Okay. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. That was his secret place. Okay, this young man said, nature. I love the woods. I love the lakes. I love going out fishing and drowning bait. I don't catch a lot of fish, but I drown a lot of bait. Okay, I love doing that. You with me on that? Okay, yeah. I love the nature. I love being out there. I love seeing God's creation. That can be a quiet place. That can be a place that you just really connect with the Lord. And so one of the quiet places is just being out in the wilderness. Our Lord needed to go out and into the wilderness. He needed to get away. So that can be a quiet place. Look again in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Verse 12. And I'm not sure if somebody said this exact word. You may have. I believe she did right here. Verse 12, and it said, and it came to pass in those days that he, which was Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He went out to a remote place to get away, a quiet place. A secret place. My quiet place at my home is my study. We have a 3-bedroom home and we made the one room into my study. And I go in there in the morning and it's the quiet place. And it's nice to be in there and just a time of quietness and being with the Lord. I love being out in the woods as well and on the lakes and things like that. And just the quiet place of the dwelling place of being close to the Lord. So a quiet place can be a remote place. Take your Bibles over to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. It was a quiet place. So, a secret place could be the wilderness, a man cave, okay? Maybe it's just your garage, I don't know, you know. But some place where you're away and you take time to be with your Lord. Maybe it's in your bedroom at 4 o'clock in the morning and it's just your quiet place. You know, a lot of times my quiet place, and I like the way Lisa said that too, a lot of times my quiet place is 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning when you're in bed and you wake up and you're just laying there for a little bit and you don't have your Bible open, but you have, you may have your eyes open. You're just laying there and you're relaxing and then you just take time to meditate and pray. That's your quiet place. That's your solitary place. And you know what, folks? We all need that. We all need that. And I don't know about you, but when Like Charles Spurgeon said, when we're in our quiet place, we're in our secret place, the refuge, God is our refuge and our fortress. He's our shadow over us. Don't you feel more secure? Don't you just feel more at peace? Now, here, we were just talking about this, folks, too, about the flood. Okay? And I know some of you guys got nailed pretty hard with it. I struggle with something in my personal life, and it's anxiety attacks. Has any of you guys ever deal with anxiety attacks? They are absolutely horrible. And sometimes they come on, and I have no idea what they come on from, but they're absolutely horrible. But if I've been under a ton of stress, I deal with anxiety attacks. My daughter, Tara, deals with anxiety attacks as well. But I remember back a year and a half ago when we were looking at the dam breakage and the stuff that was going on there. My daughter, Tara, and Doug lives a half a mile from the river in Midland, and they were saying it was going to flood, it was going to come up to their house. My son lives up in Gladwin in, what's it called? Wayne, help me. Wooden Shoe. Thank you. Yeah. And he's just the other side of the river, and he called me that night before the dams broke, and he said, "Dad, the fire department just got here. They said we have to evacuate." You know, and where I live at, I'm kind of on the south side of Tittabawassee River, between Tittabawassee River and Freeland, and I couldn't get out because the roads were all flooded over there, and I was having anxiety. What am I going to do? I got to get over to help. I got to help my daughter. I got to help my son. I got to get up there. And the panic was there. The anxiety was there. And that night was a tough night. Probably one of the toughest ones in anxiety I've had in a long time. And I remember laying on my bed, just didn't know what to do. And I called my best friend, and his name's Stephen Cottle. He's a pastor in Washington State. I said, "Steve, you got to pray for me. Man, I'm just going through all kinds of anxiety. I'm just having just a terrible time right now." And so he prayed with me, and I prayed with him, and we just rededicated my children to God just to protect them. And God did. He protected them. And my son didn't get wiped out. He had to leave for a little bit and come back the next day. And his home didn't get destroyed. My daughter's home, the water got within about 50 feet of their door, and then it started subsiding, and they were fine. You know, why am I sharing this? Because I had to show an example. During that night, I had to get in my secret place. And I've had to get in my secret place many times since then as well. But you had to get in your secret place. I had to get in the presence of the Almighty God and get under the shadow of His almighty strength to comfort me and to help me during that time. Now, folks, I've been in that shadow since that time as well. But we need daily, don't we? We need daily to be under the shadow of the Almighty God and let Him protect us from the heat of the day, from the stresses of the day. God's Word never tells us He's going to take us out of those stresses, even as we see this here. But He says He'll bring us through it. He'll be the shadow that we need, the strength that we need. So we need those quiet places. Take your Bibles, if you will, real quickly over to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Verses 1 and 2. If somebody gets there before I do, jump right in and go ahead and read it if you'd like to. I want to talk about what happens in our quiet places, okay? Psalms chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. Okay, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." Again, the psalmist was saying here, and this was actually David writing this time, he was in his quiet place, but what happens, and you give me some examples, okay? What happens when we're in our quiet place and we're depending on the Lord? Come on, talk back to me. Give me a hard time, it's okay. I like getting feedback, okay? What happens when we're in our quiet place, when we're dependent and talking to the Lord? Peace. Who said peace? Good. Peace. What else happens? Yeah, the Lord uses that time to talk to us. Maybe say, "Don, wake up." You know, not literally wake up, but "Wake up. I'm here. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you." Okay, so He gives us peace. Yeah, yeah. Gets our attention. Okay, well, the psalmist was saying here, David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and heard my cry." Isn't that awesome? When we're in our quiet time, God hears us. I'm so thankful that God hears me no matter where I'm at, my quiet time or whatever. Psalms 139 says God knows my thoughts afar off. So it doesn't matter if I'm flat on my bed, you know, in my quiet time or in my study or wherever. God knows my thoughts afar off. He understands us. But when we're in our secret place, God inclined his ear. He heard David. And David said through this that God heard his cry. He heard his stress. He heard his distress he was getting. And he was in his quiet time. Wow, folks. Isn't that special? Think about that. You know, every time I read this and read that passage and do this, I'm thinking about what an awesome God we have. Think about this. An omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, immutable, unchangeable God that created everything in our universe. And right now, he's creating miracles right now where you sit. Your heart's still beating. You're still breathing. You're not floating around. Gravity's keeping you down. Okay? That God of creation all the time looks over you. And he says, I want to have that intimate relationship with you. I want to have that. I want to have that close relationship where you cry out to me and I can talk to you and I hear your voice and I can hold you and put my wings of protection over you. And not only during our quiet time, but during our quiet time when we draw close to him, what's that do? It strengthens us to let us know, even when we're not in that quiet time presence, personal quiet time presence right then, we can know in our daily walk, in our daily drive, whatever we're doing, that God's presence is with us. Getting my point that I'm going here? The more we're with our Lord in our quiet time and closeness with him, the more we're going to feel his presence with us when we're not dedicated a certain time right then. See what I'm saying? Understand where my mindset's going here? You know, I'm on the road a lot as a full-time hospice chaplain. I average about approximately 130 miles, 125, 130 miles a day that I'm driving, doing that. And there's a lot of time of thinking, but boy, oh boy, there's a lot of times that I really feel God's presence with me or seeing God's presence with me when I'm not realizing at that instant or that minute that God's presence with me. Did that make sense? Yeah. Have you ever been somewhere where you've been driving along and all of a sudden you slow down and the traffic's backed up and you're thinking, come on, I got to get to that other place. This happened to me just a week ago. I got to get here. I got an appointment. And you're just as patient as can be, right? Yeah, right. Not me. And I got this appointment. I got to get there. I'm running late. And the traffic's backed up a mile long. And finally, it gets going. And you get down there. And here's two cars T-boned in the middle of an intersection. And it kind of makes you wake up. You know what? If I would have been a little bit faster, that could have been me. But God's presence was there. God's protection was there. God directed in that way. And it's a way of feeling God's presence and dwelling with you at times when we don't even realize it, when we keep staying close with his walk daily with him. You can feel his presence even in times when we're not purposely making that time to be with him. In the quiet time, it's strengthening and it's a renewing time. It's a time of growing closer to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, I'll turn there and read it to you, verses 30 through 31. You guys know this passage. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait, and if you look up that word wait, with that word wait in the Hebrew translation here, it ties in the word rest and trust. But they that wait or rest and trust upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When we're in our quiet time, it gives us strength. It gives us renewing. Any of you folks here ever get tired? That's a pretty simple question. Do any of you folks, I know you young kids never get tired, but any of you folks get tired? You're tired right now. Okay, yeah. How many of you here get weary? Yeah, we do. I took a nap this afternoon. For some reason, I don't take naps on Sunday afternoon very often, but I took a nap this afternoon. I was a little weary. But, it's okay to rest and wait upon the Lord. And as we rest, we trust the Lord, and He will renew our strength through that quiet time of resting in Him. What's it mean to rest in the Lord, folks? I said it a minute ago. Maybe you heard me. What's it mean to rest in the Lord? The word starts with T. Yes. Trust. Very good. When we rest in the Lord, we trust the Lord. And as we rest and wait upon the Lord, we trust the Lord, and He'll renew our strength. He'll give us the strength we need daily in our daily walk. So let me ask you, what is the benefits in closing of being in your quiet place? What's one of the benefits? If you listened to me, you knew every point. Rest. Yep. What's another benefit of being in your quiet place? Quiet. Yeah. My wife's up there right now. I have a 4-year-old granddaughter, Olivia Rose. Wow. Now, how many here's ever had 4-year-olds? Huh? A 4-year-old like Olivia Rose. When she wakes up in the morning, it's 1,000 miles an hour, right like that. And it's 1,000 miles an hour all day long until about 9 o'clock at night. She doesn't take a nap. And she's just on the go. Well, my wife and I are privileged this summer to have her every other week for a week long, taking care of her. And it is a joy. But we're finding out at the age of 62 and 60 that a 4-year-old really gets you weary. But it's also exciting. It's a blessing. But there's also not a lot of quiet time in the house. It's noisy. And even when she's being quiet, it's noisy. Have you ever noticed that? With a 4-year-old, when they're quiet, they're noisy. And she may not be talking a mile a minute, but she may be playing with her tablet, or she may be doing something else, and it's noisy, that type of thing. So this young man was right. In our quiet time, it's a quiet time. I don't know about you guys, but I just like it quiet at times, and then have that dedicated time just to be quiet with the Lord. So it's a quiet time, it's a trusting time, it's a peaceful time, it's a strengthening time, and as the psalmist said, it's a time that directs. God gives you answers, doesn't He? Gives you directions. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him in your quiet time," or any time, "and He will direct your path." Very good, Ramona, I saw you. Very good. Yeah. He'll direct your path in your quiet time. And you'll get answers during your quiet time. So, in closing, and I don't want to close on a sour note, but I want us to close thinking about something. What prevents us from having our quiet time? Ramona, I heard you. Say it louder. What prevents us from having our quiet time? Lisa? Busyness and wanting to be in control. Okay. Good. What else prevents us from having our quiet time? Ourselves. Yep. What was it? I heard somebody else. Distractions. Yeah, distractions. Yep. I got something that distracts me that you'll never guess what it is. You'll never guess. But somebody else tell me. What is it that distracts you, stops you from having your quiet time, or slows you down? Yeah. Oh, very good. Yeah, lack of that. Saying I'm going to do this and then get tied up doing something else, or maybe a priority list or something like that. Yeah, very good. Yeah. You know what distracts me at times? It's about this tall. It weighs 62 pounds. I just weighed it yesterday after I gave it its bath. It's dark brown, and her name is Molly. And she's a year and a half, or no, she's 2.5 years old. But she thinks she's a puppy. And every morning I get up and I get around and I go in my study and I'm sitting there and I'm just getting into my study. I'm just getting into my quiet time. And Molly comes in and puts her big old head right on my lap. Why? Because she wants out. She can't go out the first time. She gets out the second time. And so that distracts me, and I have to stop. I got to go let her out, because if I don't stop, she's sitting there whining and whimpering the whole time, okay? That's my distraction. So I got to let Molly out and get her outside. And then I'm sitting, you know, waiting for her to get back inside. I'm thinking, man, I want to get back into this passage. I've been studying through the book of Ezekiel right now. I want to get back into that passage. It's so good. And so finally she gets to the door and I let her back in. And I go on my study. And I, you know, by this time, after this many years, I should know her routine, you know, and just kind of roll with it, you know. But I get back in my study, I sit down in my chair, I'm just getting into it, and then she brings me in her rubber ball, the hollow rubber ball. And she drops it at my feet and she starts whimpering. And it's one of these little rubber balls where you go out and you have to fill it full of her food. You know, and so you fill it up full of her food, and then she takes it, picks her ball up, goes into the other room, and I'm sitting there and I'm studying. Next thing I know, she comes into my study and she starts dropping this rubber ball on the floor. And it's ka-thump, ka-thump, and the food rolls out of it and then she eats it. And everybody's saying, you know what? Your dog's spoiled. Yeah, she's spoiled. It's Terry's fault. I'll just blame her. But that's my distraction. And so I got to learn, and I'm working at it, to get her routine done first and then get into that. So, you know, setting up our routines. You know, doing the proper routines, you know. What else distracts us from getting our quiet time in? Priorities, distractions, busyness. Did I see a hand over here? Yeah. The devil. Yeah, very good. How does Satan just keeps us from doing our quiet time? Thoughts, like, you know, the Bible tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He likes to get a hold of our hearts and our mind, and he may even just say, well, Don, you don't need to read that scripture. You know, you're a pastor, you're in ministry, you don't need to read that scripture, you don't need that closeness. You've got it, you've understood it, you've read it so many times, don't need to do that, just skip through it. And Satan's, you know, trying to get you to, what? Distract yourself, you know, or maybe distract you into other priorities in your life. So, yeah, so life activities, disappointments, distractions, other people, pets, I put it on my thing there. I'll be honest with you, it was one thing that really stopped me for a while, not stopped me, but slowed me down in my commitment of my quiet time. You know what that is? Facebook. Yeah. You know, and I have a Facebook account, and my laptop's right there, and I'll be doing my quiet time and thinking of it. And I'm thinking, oh, I wonder how somebody else is doing. I'm wondering how this family member's doing or this friend's doing. And then I'll get over, oh, I'll check it real quick on Facebook and you know, and go over there and look at that. Next thing I know, I'm scrolling down and reading stuff and everything else. And it's pulled me away from my quiet time. Yeah, so there's distractions, things that can pull us away. So now my laptop's totally shut off, slid to the side. I don't use it until after I'm done, and sometimes I write some notes or whatever, you know, that type of thing. But there's things that can distract us. We got to make a priority. I have to make that priority, and I'm just sharing my heart with you folks tonight. And maybe I touched some bases with some of you, but make it a priority to be in your secret place. Make it a priority not to let anything distract you. Make it a priority to get under the refuge and the strength of the Almighty God, to give Him the strength that you need daily for your walk. I'll guarantee it's going to help you. I just wanted to share something really practical tonight with you. Stay and take time for your quiet place. I'm not going to get on my soapbox. I guess I already did. Okay. Don't just make it a passing, a passing fad, okay, or a passing habit. It's a good thing to have it as a habit. But so often somebody, you know, I hear somebody say, well, I have my quiet times, but, and then I'll ask them, what did you read about? Or what have you studied about? And they can't tell you. Or it's just a ritual. They'll open up the daily bread, and sometimes I call it the daily crumb, okay? They open up their daily bread, they'll read a quick story on it, a couple verses, and that's fine. And they just do it out of habit. And, oh, I had my devotional time, I had my quiet time, and I asked the Lord to bless me this day and forgive me real quick, and they go on their merry way. They didn't have a quality quiet time. Take time to have that quality time with your Lord and your Savior. Take time to get intimate with Him. You know, I love my wife. She's awesome. And we will be married 39 years on October 9th. And I don't know how she's put up with me this long, you know. But she's awesome. She's a wonderful wife. And I fall in love with her more every day. And we tell each other every day how much we love each other. And we really do. She texts me a little bit ago as I was driving up here. She says, thank you for your hard work. And I love you. And I'll see you tomorrow. You know, and we do this on and off all the time. You know, why am I sharing that? Because my wife is awesome. But you know what? My wife can't take my sins away. My wife didn't die on the cross of Calvary for me. Jesus Christ did. And I want to be more intimate with my Lord and Savior than my wife. I want to have that close relationship with Him. I want to have that secret time with Him. I mean, I have a secret time, an intimate time, and a blessing time with my dear bride. But how much better it is to have it with your Lord and Savior. The one who laid His life down on the cross of Calvary for you. Take time to grow intimate in your secret place, in your secret dwelling place with your Lord and Savior. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time. Lord, thank you that in many ways this wasn't a secret place, but in many ways, Lord, we were in your presence because, Lord, we know you are always with us. And Lord, thank you for being with us today. Help us when we leave here tonight not to forget that you want to have a personal relationship with us. Not only through grace and faith, through salvation, but after we've accepted you as our personal Lord and Savior, you want us to have a daily, moment by moment, daily walk with you and grow personally with you. And to have that quiet time and that intimate relationship with you. And Lord, may we make it a priority not to let anything distract us from that. Lord, you never leave us. You never forsake us. As your word says, you never slumber. You never sleep. You're ready to hear from us all the time. May we be in the same realm, Lord, wanting to be with you all the time. Thank you, Lord, for being an ultimate God, an intimate God with us. Help us to grow closer to you. In thy son's name, amen.